If you have the Word of God, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse 5. We have been looking at in great detail how our emotions work, how Satan manipulates our emotions. And I've spent many, many Sundays going over not all emotions, but different emotions. And we have learned, I hope that by conviction, that our emotions are so very powerful that they really rule the roost. We like to think we're led of the Spirit more than we probably are not, but we're more led by our emotions. And we looked at last week that the power of thought in this equation here. And I'll get into that just as a recap in here in just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, because if we don't understand the fact that Satan uses these emotions, our mind, against us. Now, so, okay, what's the big deal? Well, listen, Satan wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy me. And he uses lies. He's the father of all lies. And he wants to destroy, to kill and to steal. Steal, kill, and destroy. He wants all these things in our life. So it's important to know how the enemy works. And as long as God has given me something on this, and I know he's given me some things on this thing with emotions, I'm going to give it to you. So please don't grow tired of it. If you want to continue to be beat up and tossed about to and fro with every wind of doctrine, in other words, everything that comes through your ears and your eyes, then go to sleep. I'll wake you up when I'm done. But if you want to live victorious, and if you want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, then stay with me. I want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, do you? And we have to understand something. Jesus Christ was not emotional led. He was spirit led. All the time, every day, day in, day out, he pleased the Father. And I hope and trust that it is your intentions and my intentions to please God the Father. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, we read here a verse Paul wrote under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now he says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, I want to talk just a few moments on some of these words here. You see, emotions. All emotions aren't bad, but we're referring to negative emotions here and how they work against us. They can torment the heart. They will certainly torment the mind. We see that where in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, where the Bible says that he that has not made perfect in love, when love comes, it casts out fear. And we understand that fear is an emotion. And John, writing that, he was teaching on something specific. But what we can learn from this is our emotions will overwhelm the Spirit of God. And we're going to look at some of those things this morning and quench the Spirit of God. And we have to cooperate with God about some things that he has given us, because Paul said here in verse number 4, he said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And so we not only have to know Satan's tactics, but we have to know what's in our arsenal as well. Listen, no general goes to war without knowing how many bullets he has, what type of arsenal he has, what munitions he has. And no soldier goes into combat not knowing how many rounds and grenades and whatever they have on their belt or in their pack. It just doesn't happen. And so many Christians get defeated because we are not fully aware of Satan tactics plus the weapons of our warfare here. In verse 5, notice this. This word imagination means calculated consideration that is hostile to the benefits of the gospel. Now you think about that. All the benefits we get from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Paul wrote this word, he had in mind here the imagination. In our thought life, and we're not talking about sitting daydreaming about catching a big largemouth bass or killing white-tailed deer. Not that kind of imagination. We're talking about a process our mind goes through that is calculated considerations that is hostile against the benefits of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's a lot of English in one Greek word. So we have to understand his mindset here. And he goes on to say, and he uses this word against here. He said, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against. And this word against means this, a taking down. In other words, a dethroning, a taking down, a motion down, a hostile, a hostile move against something. And you see, when our emotions are enraged, what it is, it actually dethrones Christ in our heart. And so, well, that can't happen. Listen, if you can get an idol in your heart, then that becomes the center of your focus in life, then so can your emotions. And we have to understand this. And we've learned that our emotions will lie to us. 99% of the time, our emotions lie to us. Satan knows this. We've got to get a hold of it. So I don't feel like going to church. Good. You're feeling like Satan wants you to. Amen. I don't feel like reading my Bible. I don't feel like witnessing. I don't feel. Listen, we can't go through the Christian life, the Christian journey, feeling. We've got to go through in obedience and faith. You see, we can't do this. And so Paul here in the word concept, this word thought here says bringing in, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought. In other words, just the concept of the mind. And now, this is just definitions right now. But listen, when your emotions are in control, your emotions is what's giving you the concept of your mind. When your emotions of fear, emotions of insecurity, emotions of depression, you say, I don't have this. Live long enough and you will. Spurgeon, by the way, you don't have to be carnal to have these things. The great Baptist preacher Spurgeon battled great bouts of depression all his ministry. And so understanding these things, and it certainly includes sensual thoughts, you know, the adulterous thoughts and those things, but it's not only that. We're talking about some deep psychological, deep-rooted problems in a person's life that only the Word of God can get that deep. Listen, you can't take a pill that can get that deep in your life. But only the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this word thought here means concept of mind. Now, you want to note that word because we're going to look at something here in just a moment. That word is used somewhere else that is very interesting. And I think you will find interesting as well how that is used. Now, this word obedience means patient endurance. It doesn't mean necessarily obeying God and step 1, 2, 3. It means patience of endurance, a quality that does not surrender to circumstances. In other words, do you know what beats you in life and you what beats me? It's not what we're facing, but how we feel about what we're facing. And this is what it means. And you see, Satan knows he can get you out of God's will. He can get you out of church. He can get you out of your marriage. He can get you out of things that God has for you just based on how you feel. Now, if he can use your feelings to that detriment. Listen, we got to know that when we feel a certain way, it might not be, and probably is not, God making us feel that way. Listen, when Satan gets to a point and he's manipulating our thoughts and our feelings, he is in control, not the Holy Spirit of God. He is not in control. I want to go over some of the sermon from last week. Okay, this is where I need this little gizmo. Where's my pen? I know I can use my finger. I like that pen. All right. Boom. Color? Y'all like red? We'll do red. All right. Thank you, Brother Steve. Aren't these guys great? I got a racer. All right. Big one. All right. I want to write this down. I'm going to try to correlate this up here. Okay, we looked at last week here. I'm taking notes. I got a lot of papers up here because I just started writing. And I started writing all this stuff down this morning. I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to copy this stuff and try to make sense of it as I go through. You lost it? You got to keep me up there, brother. Do your stuff. All right? All right. All right. You do like radar on MASH and do whatever you got to do to keep us there. Okay? All right. Strongholds. What is a stronghold? And how are they developed? Now, Paul just talked about bringing everything in the captivity of Christ, okay? And we often say that the battle is in the mind, and that's partly true. But here's the thing. Satan only needs to influence your mind for a nanosecond. And when a nanosecond, he can get your emotions. And once your emotions are under control, he's got you. He wants to control how you feel about any given circumstances. When Jesus was walking on water, and Peter said, "Lord, if it be thee, bid me to come to thee." And what did Peter do? He got out of the boat. And what did Peter start doing? He started watching the what? The winds and the what? Waves. And when he got to Jesus, he started noticing this and he began to sink. So here's my point. You can sink under the weight of your emotions while Jesus is only a few feet from you. And if Peter could do it, we can sink with the Holy Spirit dwelling in the believer. And so our emotions are so incredibly powerful. And so this is why strongholds. We're going to put this. What did I do? Where did it go? Is it working? Does this thing have to be on? We're having all kind of technical difficulty here today. All right. There we go. We got it? Okay, here we go. This isn't my fault, it's their fault. All right, you bear with me. Strongholds. I start writing, it's not writing. Stone eraser. I don't want that. I want this. Strongholds. Okay? I'm not going to write it out because I don't have enough room. So strongholds. You want to write down number one. That's your thoughts. Okay? Your thoughts. All right? This is true for addictions. All right? Thoughts. What does thoughts do? They create a state of mind. Got that? State of mind. Once Satan has got you on a thought pattern, he's beginning to control the mind. Okay, I'm thinking about chocolate cake. Okay, I know I don't need chocolate cake. I'm bumping 200 pounds. Okay, so what do I have to do with this thought? I have to dismiss the thought. And sometimes the thought is so powerful it invokes feelings. Okay, it starts me thinking about chocolate cake. If you ever get something on your mind, you can't get it off. Okay, this is the same way Satan works with addictions. It's the same way he works when he's trying to get you to feel a certain way. Maybe insecure, maybe fear, maybe bitter if a certain situation, okay? So if he can get you to think about something long enough, you're going to get in a state of mind, okay? The state of mind will go to step number three, and here's where it's important. Emotional, you remember the notes from last week? Emotional what? Subversion. Okay? That's a key word right here because we're going to come back to this. Number four, once you hit this, you are in a reactional pattern. Reactional pattern. And if you think about it all your life, you have reacted certain ways to certain negative or positive stimuli all your life. And you get emotional about this. So we have reactional patterns. Okay? Now what I want... Don't pay attention to my writing. All right. Over here, we want to look at what subversion is. Remember I told you this word right here is very important. Subversion. What is subversion? Subversion is when Satan tries to overthrow something that is established. By the way, Satan just doesn't use this technique. The God of this world, Satan, the Bible says, will deceive nations. True? And so he is using this same technique on nations right now. Same technique. You talk to certain people, I'm not going to start naming names, but this is the same techniques they use. They use subversion to overthrow governments and nations. And there's four steps to it. And we looked at this from Genesis last week. We got this from the conversation that Satan had with Eve, okay? The first thing that Satan... began to do when he began to talk with Eve was the fact that he began to detach her from truth. That was the first thing, okay? So subversion, what is it? Detach from truth. You got that? I'm trying to write fast. From truth. Okay? So this, I got to back up to get you to where I need to go today. And the second step is this, a demarcation. A demarcation. And this is when he said, when he started to talk, God doeth no. In other words, he drew a line and said, you're over here, Eve, God's over here. God doeth know the day that you. You see that? He drew a line trying to separate in her mind that God did not have Eve's best interest in mind. So there's demarcation. There's a demarcation here. You know, this same thing is happening in our country. Listen, Christianity isn't the way. There's new ways, new things here. We're more sophisticated in our data and technology. There's new ways. There's a demarcation. You see the point? There's a demarcation here. Challenge the truth. Demarcation with the truth. And then we come to when that happens, there's deceptive independence. So Eve thought that she could do quite well on her own by saying, you know what, maybe that fruit is good for me. You know what, haven't we done that as a country? Huh? Haven't we done this as a country? It's all by design. It's not by accident. And so we have deception independence. In other words, act independent from God. And so number four here, when we get to this, get here, and I didn't mention this last week. I gave the principle, but not the point. There is a dedicated normalization. In other words, there's a dedicated way you're going to act. A country is going to act in a certain way given to a certain set of stimuli. And this is what subversion is. Okay? If Satan can get us to this point here. Can you read my writing? Probably can't, but you got it, right? I had college professors write that way. I couldn't stand it. So, you know, forgive me. So the point is simply this. Is when Satan has gotten us to this point right here, we're in a state of mind. What happens in a emotional subversion, we're beginning to detach ourselves from the truth. It doesn't matter how much theology you know. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian up to this point. If Satan can get you meditating, thinking on a particular thing, you got something news from a doctor, you got something in the mail, you got extra bills to pay, you got all these things, you got, your husband walking in, say, I'm getting a divorce, whatever you're dealing with. Whatever thought you're dealing with, when Satan gets you to the point in this state of mind, you automatically will go to emotional subversion. And when that happens, what Satan is doing, he's detaching us from the truth. There's a demarcation there, like, is God really going to help me through this situation? And then we go into the dedicated independence. In other words, I got to do this myself. And you know what emotion is? You know what fear is? Fear is self-preservation. I got to handle this myself. How many ever been insulted and want to take somebody's head off? You know what that is? That is self. That is self-revenge. So what emotions do, stay with me now, what our emotions do, they literally take Jesus off the throne of our heart and he sits him over here and says, now self is going to be the center of this situation. And when Satan has gotten us there, he uses our emotions against us. And here's the thing, all the time we're thinking we're being an obedient Christian, but no, he's manipulated the emotions in our life. And you might not be able to get this in one shot, but get the CD. I've been praying and thinking on this for quite a while. You see, emotions cause us to be self-centered. Self-centered. When we get fearful, it's fight or flight, right? Why? It's self-preservation. When you feel like you got the news from the doctor, it's like, well, what am I going to do? I got to do something. I want to live. You know, whatever the case may be. When you're feeling bitter against something or someone, what is that? Self-vindication. You see, it all comes back to self. So what emotions do, it really employs the original sin in our life. What was the original sin? Let's go to Genesis chapter 3 and look at it. The original sin was when, what happened after the sin, rather, in Genesis chapter number 3. Notice this. Just know emotions emotions, insecurity, hopelessness. Anybody ever felt hopeless before? Yeah. You ever felt, I didn't preach on this, but defilement, sexual abuse, post-traumatic stress syndrome, military, law enforcement, public safety, they deal with this kind of thing. And they rehearse these things in their mind, and it comes back to understanding. And by the way, you can be justified in a shooting, but Satan still tell you, yeah, you still took that guy's life. It was you. And you got to live with that, even though you were in the right. And so understanding, what is this? What happened? Genesis 3:7. Notice, and the eyes of them both were what? Open, and they knew that they were what? Naked. You ever seen a three-year-old run around the house without any clothes on? They're not bashful about it, are they? They'll put on a show for you, matter of fact. But you and I, hopefully, Lord help us, I hope you and I wouldn't do that, right? Wow, we're self-conscious. And I understand there's some people today doing it, but you understand what I'm saying. We became self-conscious. That's what sin did. We became self-conscious. And when Satan is working and to invoke our emotions with a circumstance, we get in a state of mind, and often our mind and our emotions are going back and forth, firing off neurotransmitters, and it's evoking feeling in our heart and in our life. And the next thing you know, Satan's got us so depressed or riled up, whatever the case may be, and now he has gotten us, the flesh, in the control and not the Holy Spirit of God. All right, everybody tracking me? I'm trying to make it as simple as I can. So we have to understand, you see, self puts, emotions put self at the center. Who's supposed to be the center of our life? Christ. He is supposed to be the center of our life. Now, notice this, emotional subversion. It means when we assume, here it is, when we assume, this is what Eve did, when she assumed the authority for her life. And that's what our emotions get us to feel. Well, somebody said something about me. I got to go set them straight. Yeah. I'm fear for my life. I've got to do something. I'm not talking about Second Amendment stuff. Do what you got to do to defend yourself. But I'm saying there's situations in life. You're like, I got to do something. Well, what about trusting God? Are you following what I'm saying? Self-preservation. These emotions evoke some form of self, self-vindication, self-righteousness, self-preservation. This is what emotions do in our life. And when these emotions are evoked through thought or circumstance in our life, we are no longer being led by the Holy Spirit of God. We are being led by our own flesh and or Satan. By the way, none of them get you anywhere good. Amen. Somebody please say amen. Thank you. So we understand when we get emotional, we are assuming the authority for our life. We're assuming the authority for the control of our life. Listen, our God is more than able, more than capable, more than sufficient to meet the needs that we the feelings of the needs that we have in our daily life. And so think on this. So to resist the devil, well, we must learn to submit. Now, this is where it gets a little tricky. Let's go to James 4 and read this verse right here. Now, this is where it gets a little confusing, because especially with Bible-believing Christians who you know, just love God, follow God all the time. Here's where it gets tricky. Let's go to James 4:7. Let's read this verse. How many think? Well, don't raise your hand. But let me just ask you the question: If you sat down and were asked by Jesus, and he would say, "Are you really submitted to me?" And you have to answer that question. And if you're not submitted, no wonder the devil's beating you up. Okay. Now, for the Bible-obedient Christian, where's James? Is that in the New Testament? I'm just kidding. Give me a minute. I'm talking. I got to get there. When we're talking about the obedient Christian, we think, well, why is the devil beating me up? I mean, I'm in church 3 times a week. I'm tithing. I'm witnessing the best I know how. I'm following God, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Let's read this verse, chapter 4, verse 7. Submitting yourselves therefore to who? God. Resists who? The devil. So where do we need to resist? And here's the thing. Here's where it gets tricky for the Bible-believing Christian. Say, well, if I'm following God, why are my emotions beating me up so? Here's the deal. Listen. You have not learned to submit your emotions to God. Everything in our life, we say everything in our life has to be submitted to God. And we go, amen, that's great, good preaching. Listen, if you don't know every dimension of how you're made, how can you submit every part of you? We're made in 3 parts, spirit, soul, body. And our soul is what? Intellect, emotions, and what? We talk about getting the mind under control quite often in sermons and teaching, but we haven't said a whole great deal about getting our emotions under the authority of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, emotions do not ever mature. They only reveal immaturity. Insecurity, immaturity. Because John said, love casteth out what? Fear. And he that is made perfect, in other words, mature, in what? Love, the love of God. And so we can see here that emotions are not dealing, we're dealing with immaturity here when our emotions are in roads. And you see, you can have your life submitted, but not your emotions, Christian. Are you following what I'm saying? And understanding that every part of the trichotomy of man has to be submitted to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what is subversion? Subversion is the process. And here it is, a process. It's a 4-step process. Just gave it to you. It's a 4-step process of Satan overthrowing the Christ of your heart. That's what it is. It's a process. And what he does, he puts a thought in the mind. I erased it. He puts a thought in the mind to create what? A state of mind. That state of mind, if you meditate on it long enough, it will become, it develop emotional subversion. And that's when the subversion starts detaching us from truth, demarcating us. And we say, like, I got to take care of myself. I got to defend myself. I got to defend my own good name. How many have folks talk bad about you? You know, one of the hardest things you do is to just let God vindicate everything. You see, when you want to be, see, it's self. Emotions get you, what, riled up. And you want self to do it, right? And so there's a demarcating. There's, look, you need to go handle this. No, just let God do it. See? Let God handle this thing. And so then it comes, and if we don't learn to check this, number 4 here, we get to a point where it's dedicated normalcy. In other words, we just act this way, do this way every single time all your life. Now, how many can be honest? Look, I see a pattern in my life since I was 20 years old or 15 years old. How many be honest? I see a pattern. God is showing me a pattern in my life where Satan has subverted my emotions, and I've just been a wishy-washy, up and down, beat up Christian all most of my life. Anybody be honest? Say, hey, that's me. Hey, amen. I'm glad to see your hands. I'll raise both of mine. So we see here that the only way we can get the authority that which we have in Christ. Man, God created Adam to rule and reign. Amen. You see, we have the authority. Christ said, I have all authority has been given to me. And then he delegated that authority to us. So why is it that we're being so beat up and distraught by Satan? It's because we have not understood the detriment of our own emotions. You see, to resist the devil, we must submit to God. But when our emotions have been enlivened or invoked by Satan's whispers, we are no longer submitted to God at that point. We're letting our emotions run and rule the day. Listen, excessive overloaded emotions. Everybody have excessive overloaded emotions? These type of emotions will bring delusionalment. It will make you delusional. Amen. Because here's what delusion a delusion is. You see, our emotions, if they lie to us, you know what that is? That's an illusion. Let me give you a definition of an illusion. Illusion is a false idea. Now, where does Satan begin with all this? Illusion is a false idea that leads to delusion. What is delusion? Definition is a false psychotic belief. Peter thought that wave was going to crush him. And Jesus rebuked him. Oh, ye little faith. Elijah thought Jezebel was going to kill him. He felt alone. So he acted as if he was alone because he was acting. He believed his emotions over the authority of God in his life. That was God's man. Jezebel wasn't going to touch him unless God said, okay. It didn't matter. And by the way, if God said okay, it didn't matter. It wouldn't matter where he would have ran to. Jezebel would have got him. You see that? Because he felt a certain way, he acted on what he felt, and he was believing a illusion that led him to a cave. Here we are, a God called man, just called down fire from heaven, living in a cave. You ever seen people start acting weird? Yeah. This is where it gets to. And the stronger the emotion, the excessive, overloaded emotional state will wind you up in a delusional situation. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I would venture to say 3/4 of the room at some point in your life, maybe even today, you have got yourself in a thought process and a state of mind, not just for a moment, but perhaps for a period of time in your life, that it's really caused some havoc in your heart and in your mind, and perhaps even in your life. Amen? And if we be honest, you see, Christians don't want to talk about these dark caves we get into. And if you can't get victory over it unless you start identifying it, friend. Amen? You can't get victory unless you start acknowledging it. It's there. And say, I'm a bad Christian because I feel this way. No, you're not a bad Christian. You're uninformed. But hopefully today we're getting informed from God's Word. So understand this. And just be open. You know, you don't have to go tell everybody, but be open about this thing. You see, when Adam sinned, he lost his ruling privilege. And when we let Satan start poking at our emotions, and he starts manipulating how we feel, we lose our ruling privilege in Christ in our life. And we have to be educated, biblically educated, to understand this. But you see, Satan wants you to feel depressed. Satan wants you feeling guilty. Satan wants you to feel fearful. Satan wants you to feel like you're the worst parent on earth and carry that burden around. You know why? Because it's a bondage. And he wants you there. Christ came to set us free. Free. Not lugging this thing around. He came to set us free. Do you need freedom in some area of your life this morning? You see, the great thing about redemption is this. When Christ bought me, he got everything. The good, the bad. The decisions that were not good and the decisions that were good. He got it all. He got it all. Because, see, you can't buy just half of me. Christ bought it all. He bought it all. He bought your bad decisions. He bought your failures. He bought your disappointments. He bought your heartaches. He bought everything. But he can't give you what he can give you, which is peace, unless we understand how Satan is manipulating that in our hearts and our minds. Do you want that peace? Jesus said, I give you peace. And when I give it to you, the world can't take it. He can't take it. How many need that this morning? Because I need it. Maybe you had it and you lost it. But I need that peace from Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now. Lord, I fear that in completeness, I didn't give everything, but Lord, you know. I trust you know. You know your people. I know the Holy Spirit can do so far exceeding what I could ever do here. And I pray, Lord, today that You'll strengthen all our hearts, my heart, every heart here, to help us to see how Satan manipulates the emotions. Maybe there's some here today that are fearful about the future in some capacity. Lord, maybe there's some things that some deep regrets here today, and Satan's just beating them up. And they know it's true. Satan knows it's true. But Father, help us to see the redemptive, cleansing, freeing power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ here today. Father, help us to enter into the life, the Christian life you purchased for us by Your Son. And we'll praise You for that here today. In Jesus' name. Amen.